Welcome back into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We are recording a late one tonight after some Thursday night football where the Seahawks prevailed over the Cardinals in a game that was closer than it probably should have been. But we are here. We're going to talk about the week five slate of college football here. We're going to go through it. We're going to talk about some emerging players on these rosters as we go through it. But James, how are you feeling tonight? You ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll. This is as packed of a slate as we've seen so far. There's a lot of players that are getting their first test against real competition, so I'm pumped for this weekend.
I love it. Let's start with Virginia, Florida State, because there's an emerging player that I want to talk about in the Virginia game. I covered him in my 7-Up again for paid subscribers. Virginia offensive tackle Mikhail Boley. Have you spent any time watching Mikhail Boley yet?
Yeah, I actually watched Mikhail Boley today. I watched Stanford and NC State. I thought Stanford was pretty much dominant. NC State was not as clean. But yeah, he's got a lot going for him. I'll let you kind of break him down.
Yeah, so again, his dad is a former NFL linebacker, so that helps with the NFL bloodlines there. But I think he's a really smooth mover. I do think that his grip strength could be better. His ability to sustain blocks in the run game could be better. He's a road grader when he can get into guys and drive them, but I don't think he necessarily sustains as well as I'd like him to. But yeah, man, I like his lower half quite a bit in his pass set. He's got verified 34-inch arms on a 6'4 frame. So like, I think that proportion is really awesome. I mean, I think it shows in leverage situations as well, but, I think his hand placement and his punch placement is really awesome. When he does grip, his grip placement is awesome too, to have that inside out leverage. I think there's a lot to like in terms of, the athletic ability. Technique is up and down, as you mentioned. I think that he could be a little cleaner consistently. But that Stanford game in pass pro, when those hands got latched, it was a thing of beauty. So I think he's on a day two trajectory. Like, I think if he keeps playing like this, he's on a day two trajectory. Florida State's got a really awesome test for him ahead here, that Florida State defensive line. So we'll see how Mikhail Boley looks in that Florida State game.
Yeah, Florida State. So yeah, I mean, Mikhail Boley, you've done a great job of highlighting people this year. He's somebody that you, I'm glad you pointed him out to me. Florida State has some players on defense that I've been excited to watch. They just haven't really played anybody since week one, so I haven't gotten to study them, but Earl Little, he really stood out against Alabama. I know James Williams is really athletic, but yeah, it'll be a good test for Mikhail Boley for sure.
Yep. And Virginia's got Chandler Morris is playing pretty well. I don't see him as an NFL draft prospect, but as a fun college quarterback, he's playing pretty well for Virginia right now too. So pretty interested in that one. TCU, Arizona State. The battle of two wiry quarterbacks is kind of the story of this one, I think. Josh Hoover and Sam Leavitt. Josh Hoover is on a pretty good trajectory. Again, you know, I've been told by some scouts that TCU expects him back for a redshirt senior season next year. And based on the tape that I've seen, like, I think he's obviously got like a really toolsy play style. I do still see some stuff from a process accuracy standpoint that I'm like, yeah, that might be for the best. But again, it's early in the season. This is a good test. Arizona State here, Big 12 football. Leavitt, on the other hand, I'm pretty much punting on for the season. He's 19. He's playing like he's 19. He hasn't played pretty well, or as well as I, you know, as some had hoped coming into the season. Anybody else from this TCU Arizona State game? Keith Abney on Eric McAllister. That's a fun.
I was going to say Keith Abney. I mean, Jordan Tyson. This will be. Mm-hmm. Probably, like, I mean, definitely the best competition that Jordan Tyson faces, and he's been, I think, pretty dominant this year. Keith Abney is really interesting because I think his tape so far has been awesome. I really wonder if he's going to be somebody that declares early just as a 5'11 corner, you know, like, seems like the type that might return to school. But I mean, his tape, I think, is kind of starting to warrant a day two pick.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. The Baylor game is awesome, and Baylor's got some, like, Baylor throws the ball 50 times a game, and they've got dudes who can play, and like Josh Cameron, Ashton Hawkins, Cole Wilson. So, and again, he had a pick in that game on a beautiful play. He was recruited as an athlete, so it's not a surprise that he has ball skills. But Keith Adney's ball skills are awesome, and a very underrated part of his game.
I would also highlight Bud Clark for TCU, who we've talked about several times. The Arizona State tackle, whose last name I don't know how to pronounce, but Max.
Yeah.
Ahinator. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's honestly a lot of guys in this game, even like CJ Fight, Eric McAllister, like you mentioned. So
Eric McAllister is coming off a
monster game
too.
Yep.
Yeah. So, we'll see what Abney and company has in store for them in that one. USC Illinois would be a lot more awesome to tune into if Xavier Scott wasn't hurt. I would love to see Xavier Scott on Mekhi Lemon, because you know those guys would be matched up all day.
Mm-hmm.
Play style, body type wise, that would be a match made in heaven. But
they're like the wide receiver and DB versions of each other.
Yeah, it would have been an awesome head to head. Would have been an awesome head to head. Instead, we're going to get two fun college quarterbacks. Jaden Maiava is playing really efficient football, but I think Maiava also has a pretty significant cap on him in terms of mobility and arm talent, in terms of an NFL draft player. But, you know, again, two wiry quarterbacks here, college quarterbacks going at it in this one. Any emerging players for you in this one? I know people like Braylon Shelby and Anthony Lucas.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony Lucas had a great game against Michigan State. I've seen him in the first round of some mock drafts. I mean, he is 6'05", 279 with about 33.5-inch arms and showing some advanced like hand technique. So definitely a positive development there. And Illinois will be another test that's like a good matchup on paper. But based on what Illinois' offensive line has shown this year, I'm not sure that this is great competition. Like, how many times does JC Davis need to get beat every week for it to be like a good a resume builder?
I was just thinking that as well. Like, JC Davis might have the best resume of like games that could have gone really great for his resume.
He has,
and it has gone in the complete opposite direction for him.
He's the most like most featured on other people's resumes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have the JC Davis game at this point.
Yeah. So that's not a great development. Jacoby Lane will also be out. Unfortunate, but I am excited to see Kamari Ramsey. I watched his tape against Michigan State. He had a nice, I think he gave up a play and then had a nice play. So, we mocked him in the first round a couple days ago. But after that, those are the only guys I will say, as far as emerging players, there's one other emerging player I will highlight, and that's USC running back Waymon Jordan.
Okay.
5'9", 210. Have you watched him at all?
I have not, but that's my kind of body type on a running back.
Yeah. Check him out. He had a big game in week four. And so that's my one exposure to him, but very dynamic athlete. Seems like, we're kind of starving for some potential day two running backs here, but Waymon Jordan, I think, could be one. And USC finally has a really good rushing attack.
I love it. I actually have a running back I'm going to bring up later when we get to a different game as well, because I have another running back that I've been digging, and he's sidelining a guy that came into the season with a lot of hype. So I think he deserves a shout out when we get there. But Notre Dame, Arkansas, for me, I'm really excited about this game. Not that Notre Dame has an offensive tackle who could block Quincy Rhodes, but this is going to be a resume game for Quincy Rhodes, a ranked opponent. I would feel, again, a lot better if Charles Jagusa was healthy and didn't get in an ACV accident coming into the season. But can Quincy Rhodes continue to look like a first rounder? Because like through two games since the game two weeks ago, where I was like, yeah, this guy has the frame of a first rounder. This guy moves like a first rounder. He had another solid week last week. So this is the Quincy Rhodes test for me, in my opinion. Outside of that, Jordan Faison's been playing really good football for Notre Dame. He's been their leading receiver this year.
Okay, I need to look into him.
He's got some soft tissue stuff, though, that has always hampered him in his career. So I always tread lightly with those guys that have consistent soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
But Jaden Greathouse is MIA, and Jordan Faison is stepping up for those guys right now. So any other players here?
I watched Jaden Greathouse week one, and he was involved in like three plays. So the other players, I would say Malachi Fields for Notre Dame, I've been impressed with. I've talked about him a few times this year. I think that the other Notre Dame running back, Jadarian Price, has been really impressive to me. Yeah. And so, you know, he's somebody that I'm kind of, I've been watching the Notre Dame backfield waiting for Jeremiah Love, and he's kind of stolen the show to a certain extent. So I've been impressed with him. And then I'm also interested to see if David Oki for Arkansas, the defensive lineman, a transfer from Abilene Christian, if he, I know he was injured to start out the year. I haven't looked into what he did last week, but
yeah, did he play last week?
No, I'm not sure. I'm about to check. Okay, he played 23 snaps against Memphis.
Okay.
We'll see.
Not great. I came in really high on David Oki.
Me too. So. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And
there.
I mean, we've talked about Talen Green, right? I'm not super bought into Talen Green as a draft prospect. So
Nope. I'm about as out as you could be on a quarterback as I am on Talen Green.
Okay.
I don't see it, because the people want to say he's got a big arm because he's got a big frame, but like, he doesn't have a big arm. The processing is very, very, like, he makes everything harder, where he eventually gets there after he's been running around outside of structure for four extra seconds. He finally gets the read that he should have gotten to in structure in 2.5 seconds. Right. So I think he just makes things a lot harder on himself. And that's just not a quarterback I'm very bought into. All right. Moving on to... Boy, I'm going to have to scroll. Can I offer you maybe a little bit of a Big 12 slot fest in Kansas versus Cincinnati? Another couple wiry quarterbacks here. Anything stand out to you about Kansas-Cincinnati? Because not really for me. I mean, Jeff Caldwell, but again, does Kansas have a defensive back that I would really consider like a tough head-to-head for Jeff Caldwell in this game?
So do you know what the deal is with Jake Golday? Because... saw he was injured. Yeah, so he played 18 snaps against Northwestern State in week 3.
Okay.
And hasn't played.
I don't know. I haven't checked up on him either, because they haven't really played anybody that is worth kind of evaling yet. I was kind of waiting to get into his Big 12 tape there. So
Yeah,
not too sure there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jake Golday is by far the highest graded player that I have in this game. You know, I've got late day 3 grades on Joe Royer, Brendan Sorsby. Dante Corleone has kind of a medical concern.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I probably won't be tuning into this game unless Jake Golday makes an appearance.
That's fair. It's also at the big noon schedule, and there's so many games on at noon this week.
Yeah, no, this week is going to be a massive challenge to balance watching all these games.
Heading to 3 o'clock slate, we've got Ohio State, Washington. Again, I pointed out earlier, I think Jermaine Matthews, Boston is the matchup to watch there. I'll be watching Devin Williams just for 2027 purposes, because he looks fun as hell. Jonah Coleman gets his first real test. Jonah Coleman looks really good so far against
subpar
level of competition. Now he's going to go up against, you know, Caden McDonald, Ed Hughes, like all of those big boys for the Ohio State defensive line, and those linebackers. So he's going to have some legitimate anchors and runners at the second level chasing him down this next week. So I'll be interested to see, can he beat guys like Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese to the corner? Can he run through contact through some of those guys? Can he make something out of nothing with those bigger dudes on the interior mucking stuff up this week. So a big Jonah Coleman game this week, I think.
Well, I mean, when I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, like, this is the first challenge. This week is the first challenge for a lot of players, and that applies to pretty much everyone on Washington and everyone on Ohio State, because, mm-hmm. you know, Ohio State had Texas, but we haven't really gotten to see them since week one. So it'll be great to see, like, does Carnell Tate continue his ascension? You know, obviously, like you said, Denzel Boston, Jonah Coleman, one of my favorite running backs in this class, and then mm-hmm. Arvell Reese, who has emerged at linebacker. Also think Jermaine Matthews, if he can have another statement game against a big opponent. And I would highlight Drew Azapardi, the tackle for Washington, who I thought was awful last year, straight up, like, one of the worst. I didn't even evaluate him. I just saw every single Big Ten pass rusher, like, dog him. And then Devin pointed him out on Twitter. So I went and, like, watched a couple of his games against kind of weak competition, and he looks, I'm interested to see, you know, if he can hold up.
Love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Moving on to Ole Miss LSU. This is like,
oh, wait, one more thing.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Have you seen Washington, the sailgating that they do at Washington?
No, that sounds amazing though.
Look up sailgating.
Okay.
That Ohio State guy, the Barstool guy, posted a picture of it and said that he was sailgating. And so basically, Washington Stadium is right on the water, and then people tailgate just in boats out kind of in the bay right by the stadium. It looks like the coolest thing ever. But yeah,
that sounds awesome. I lived in Seattle for a year, but like, it was right out of college, and I never
really
got out a whole lot. Yeah, because I was doing school and working to afford rent out there. So yeah, LSU Ole Miss. That LSU defense is legit, man.
Yep,
they're legit. I'm also interested in you know, the interior offensive linemen for LSU against, you know, Xavion Harris, who I don't think has played very well to start the season for Ole Miss either. Outside of that, this is going to be a fun game. Trinidad Chambliss might be my favorite college quarterback right now. He might be my favorite college quarterback. The dude is so much fun to watch. Ferris State transfer. Again, as an NFL draft prospect, he's like 5'11", so probably not, but he's a ball of energy, man. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention to him just because he doesn't have like NFL draft upside really. But I mean, I pull up the list of players for this game, and it's the longest list for any game that we've talked about. LSU is just stacked with talent. Mm-hmm. It's like even the players that I don't like, I have, you know, fifth and sixth round grades on. Like, those are their worst players are fifth and sixth round draft picks. You know, it's like Patrick mm-hmm. Payton, who is still kind of solid by college standards, but I just don't really think, you know, I think as a pass rusher, there's kind of nothing going on there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that as well. Diego Pounds, though, will have the opportunity to go against Patrick Payton, some of these other guys. I'm so torn on Diego Pounds because I see the movement skills and I see the body type, and I'm like, this is the kind of tackle I want to love. Like, I really want to love Diego Pounds because, again, the movement skills are awesome. He's got the frame, but then he oversets like crazy. I don't think he moves people well in the run game. His hand placement's iffy. So it's like all the other stuff around the things that I love in offensive tackles, like, Diego Pound doesn't have it. And it's like, oh, but I so badly want you to be a dude.
Yeah. The other Ole Miss guy that I would highlight is Suntrine Perkins, who has 9 stop tackles the past 2 weeks, which is a tackle for an unsuccessful play. Yep. He only plays like a QB spy though, which is just not really a role in the NFL.
Right.
So I don't know how translatable it is, but he does have production. I feel like with LSU, I just got to kind of like list the guys like on the D line. we've got edge rushers Patrick Payton and Jack Pyburn, who I think are like day three guys, but are still kind of solid. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell me where you disagree. Also, okay. Bernard Gooden, defensive tackle, also a day three guy, like super athletic, just gap shooter type.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me your thoughts on the D line before we move on.
Pyburn, yeah, he's a ball of energy, dude. I've loved watching Pyburn's tape. I haven't paid too much close attention to the other guys up there, just because LSU hasn't played anybody, and yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch the LSU defense against Florida offense yet either. From last week, but Gooden has definitely stood out to me through the early parts of the season.
He's got some especially insane reps. Yeah. And then we've got the Whit Weeks, I guess, revenge game.
Oh my gosh.
dating Lane Kiffin's daughter.
He's only going to play the second half though.
Yeah, that's true. But I've got an early fourth on Whit Weeks. I think he showed some like real pass rushing chops. I think it was in the Florida game. Like he multiple high quality wins, which was pretty interesting. And then the most, Harold Perkins, who I think has shown, you know, this year has been a promising step forward in that at least he's got like production and mm-hmm. decent tape, but he's playing in this overhang role, which is, it's putting him in situations and coverage that he shouldn't be in. And mm-hmm. then also it's like, I don't know that the tape is that good really to justify a very high pick. What's even more concerning is I watch him when they do blitz him and he gets just mm-hmm. tied up as a pass rusher.
Yep.
There's like no juice there. The only juice is talking someone down as a spy.
Yep. I completely agree. It's unfortunate too, because like, He was such a fun college football player as a freshman. I think people overblew it a little bit, but like it's pretty evident even when he was like dominating people as a freshman. Like, but what is this guy going to do at the NFL level?
Right.
They could try to stack him, but again, he's what, 5'11", 220? So like 6'1", 220. Somewhere, he's like somewhere in that range. It's like, so he's tiny. It's rough to try to project what he can do at the NFL level. Rough to project that.
Yeah, it's 6'1" and 1/8". 215 pounds is what I have.
215, man, that's brutal. Could I interest you in Caden Wallace versus Mansoor Delane?
Caden Wallace, isn't it Harrison Wallace?
That's what I meant. Harrison
Wallace. Harrison Wallace. So I've not really watched Harrison Wallace.
He's like the only receiver producing on that offense right now.
Yeah, I know he's really fast,
well. I like Stripling quite a bit too for what Stripling can do.
Yeah.
He's a physical dude.
I just haven't watched the Ole Miss passing game a ton this year. I know Max Toscano loves Daquan Wright, and he's got really good speed tracking.
I like Daquan Wright too.
6'3", 251.
Yeah, I like Daquan Wright quite a bit as well. He's good. He's a very good football player.
The final thing to mention is that to me the most impressive part about LSU's defense is the secondary with Mansoor Delane and then AJ Halsey, mm-hmm. who I really like. He stood out a lot this year.
Yep. Another statement game for Delane, because this is a team that's going to throw the ball 40 times at you. So
yep,
going to be a good one. Auburn, Texas A&M, Cassius Howell versus Xavier Chaplin, the exact type of pass rusher that Chaplin struggles against.
It's like what we were talking about with JC Davis. Like every pass rusher is going to have a Xavier Chaplin game on their resume, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's been a brutal start for him coming into the season with first round grades from scouts. And I mean, scouts had him graded as the highest offensive tackle, like the highest graded offensive tackle in the class coming into the season. And he hasn't looked the part at all. And again, we weren't big fans of his summer tape either. I've got an inside the film room up on him from over the summer. So, pretty rough.
Yeah. My comp to him was Tyler Guyton.
Okay.
Derogatory.
Okay. I see a lot of DeJuan Jones because they're both really massive dudes who just went by throwing their hands at people.
Length merchants.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else here? I mean, Cam Coleman, we talked about. We can't talk about him for another year.
Yes, there are a ton of people in this game.
Okay.
I mean, we got Keldrick Falk going up against not great competition, but, you know, Trey Zun is decent.
Guard. Yeah.
But, like, he's going to be a guard. But, like, that's decent competition. And then the Demetrius Crownover is, like, looks the part, you know.
I like Demetrius Crownover for what he is.
Hollywood left tackle. But I don't know. I'm not too impressed with him.
No, I like him for what he is. Like, I was texting one of my scout buddies and I was like, it looks really ugly, but like, he doesn't get beat very often. But like, yeah, his technique is terrible. I like Chase Bezantis quite like a decent amount.
Okay. I haven't really, he was like, I watched Texas A&M offensive line and didn't really pay attention to him.
So they do so much weird stuff with their interior. They're like rotating four guys through those three spots.
I was watching Armage Reed Adams and then the two tackles.
Reed Adams, I don't much love, but they've got two centers they'll rotate in. And when they rotate one center and they kick the other one to guard, and they'll either kick out Reed Adams or they'll kick out Bezantis for that guy for the center to switch to guard. It's like really sloppy what they're doing with their interior offensive line. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me how they're rotating those guys in and out.
This is gonna be a resume game for Willie the Third in either direction because this is an insane receiver duo with Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton, who I'm not huge on Eric Singleton, but he's one of the fastest receivers in college football. Mm-hmm. And that's still a good matchup to show your skills against.
Yep. Absolutely. The Cam Coleman Willie stuff is gonna be so much fun. Have you paid much attention to Dalton Brooks, the safety for Texas A&M?
No.
Okay. Some scouts would like him. I haven't, again, Texas A&M has played outside of Notre Dame. Haven't really had a matchup worth really paying much attention to. Indiana, Iowa. Again, this is another, the second game now for Fernando Mendoza against Power Four competition this season. So, Iowa again gave up 28 points to Athlon Kekkonen-Linus, or however you pronounce his last name, in the Rutgers offense. So, well, Indiana should have another pretty efficient offensive performance in this one. We got your boy Cade Piper going against some decent defensive line, like college decent defensive linemen.
Okay, Indiana's got this guy Mario Landino. He's Mario Landino. Not eligible. He was like this 2-star recruit. He's a sophomore. He had like 6 pressures, 3 sacks against Illinois. He was like the dominant force that kind of wrecked Illinois. So I'm really interested to see him for next year. But yeah, this will be a good test for Cade Piper. Indiana's also got some other guys like Tucker, I think. Half their team is transfers every year. So even as a fan, it takes me until week 8 to learn the roster. I don't know. We've had this conversation before with Indiana, but I'm looking at my list here, and I've got day one to two grades on Fernando Mendoza and Omar Cooper, and then I've got like 10 players with day 3 grades. And that's,
I think Amari Farrell could be a day 2 player.
Yeah, I like Amari Farrell. He gave up that big touchdown against Illinois that PFF blamed D'Angelo Pons for, but
okay,
it was on him. Yeah, Kurt Cignetti like came out on in a presser and was kind of like very critical of Amari Farrell.
He's very critical of everybody. They could win 70-0 and he'd be like, we didn't score 80.
But no, I do agree with you. Amari Farrell, after Omar Cooper, Amari Farrell is my highest graded player, and he has an early 4th round grade. So like, okay. I'm there with you, but D'Angelo Pons, Elijah Surratt, Mikhail Kamara, Roman Hemby. I kind of like Carter Smith as a center. He plays left tackle for them, but I like him as a center. You know, Aiden Fisher, like really undersized linebacker that I don't even really see getting drafted. And then for Iowa, who do you like on Iowa? I've talked about Cade Piper.
That's it, man. You couldn't sell me on Logan Jones or Jennings Dunker.
Max Eulen.
He's okay. I think he could have a career as a DPR. I haven't seen him be very physical on early downs against the run, but like he's got some chops as a pass rusher.
So he reminds me so much of Aiden Hutchinson because I'm not saying that he's going to be as good as him, but they have the same build where they're tall with short arms, like 6'6", 260, 6'5", 260 short arms. Same pass rushing plan where they've got like the long arm swipe inside spin. Mm-hmm. And then he has, you know, NFL size, but last year they just didn't play him on early downs. It's like one of those weird Iowa usage things with their defensive mm-hmm. line. But when you watch his run defense snaps, like he can get in there and shed blocks. He looks decent. So I'll be interested to see how he performs in Big Ten play. Cause if you pair his pass rushing tape from last year with just kind of standard what run defense that you would expect from a 260-pound edge, like I'm on board with that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched this guy, but Ryan Roberts really likes Bo Stevens, the Iowa guard.
Okay.
I watched Dunker, Logan Jones, and Cade Piper when I watched Iowa's. Well, every time I watch Iowa's O-line, Cade Piper's the only one I like, but mm-hmm. And Logan Jones has nice run. They all flatten people in the run game. It's just Jennings Dunker. Okay, we make fun of his pass sets. I'm going to show you on the video. When he is getting into his pass sets, he's literally doing this.
Yes, it drives me crazy. It's like he's doing a breaststroke. It's like
a little butterfly kid stroke. That has the floaties on, like yes. Trying to learn to swim. It's the most bizarre thing ever. So that's an aesthetic thing, but he also just gets rocked in pass pro. And then same thing with Logan Jones, but they're all dominant on outside zone.
Yep. I was gonna mention Kamari Moulton, but he hasn't really played too much this year. I think he was hurt early on in the season. But I'm gonna be wary of an Iowa running back now because I think I'm getting burned a little bit on Caleb Johnson because he's an outside zone merchant in college and it hasn't really translated a whole lot so far early on in his NFL career. All right. The next two games are just like the all academic teams playing. UCLA versus Northwestern and Cal versus Boston College. I don't think you could sell me on any NFL, like any matchups head to head in that, in either of those games. It's just very funny. They stacked those all academic schools up together this week. Going through the slate here, man. The Big 12 has like not favorable NFL draft matchups like Baylor, Oklahoma State. Not a ton of head-to-heads there. Utah, West Virginia. West Virginia is pretty barren right now. Same with Oklahoma State, obviously. Tennessee, Mississippi State. Anybody there that would pique your interest?
Yeah, definitely. So I will be interested to see Colton Hood, Tennessee corner that I've talked about, who having a really strong season so far, actually the lowest mm-hmm. yards per cover snap allowed in college football this year. Joshua Josephs seems to kind of do the same thing every game, two pressures, one sack, basically, where it's like he has literally like two amazing rushes and then mm-hmm. it's not that impactful. But yeah, I mean, Mississippi State is, they don't have a ton of players outside of Isaac Smith, the safety. They don't have a ton of players that are on my radar. Mm-hmm. Blake Shapen, the quarterback, Traore, the tight end, those are the guys that I'm like aware of. But I mean, they're not a pushover like they were last year for sure.
No, they're not. I'm kind of monitoring the Anthony Evans kid, the Georgia transfer at wide receiver, but he's only a true junior. So, we'll see. He's got 21 catches for 290 and two touchdowns this year for Mississippi State. He's dynamic. But again, I doubt he's coming out this year. Blake Shapen, I'm going to be interested. I'm holding off on it until like this one, because Arizona State is the only Power 4 team that Mississippi State has played as well. But like Blake Shapen looked the part of like an efficient, I can get my eyes to the right spot and I can distribute at a high level kind of quarterback against mm-hmm. Arizona State. So I'll be kind of interested if he can do it against Tennessee too, at least like look efficient. Then we're talking about like, okay, we're talking about day three backup draftable quarterback here with Blake Shapen if he does it again. So Not quite there yet, ready to talk about Blake Shapen as a draftable quarterback in this year's class, but I think we're getting close to that. Like, I don't know what it is, but I have like a soft spot in my heart for those high floor backup, like lifelong backup quarterbacks, like to talk about them. But Blake Shapen could be one of those guys.
Yeah. The other players that I would mention for Tennessee, I think in addition to Colton Hood, there are some other potential breakout players that are interesting to monitor. Chris Brazel, coming off of the big game against Georgia, you know, pretty much backed it up against UAB, the pushover game. And so we'll see if he can do it against the next SEC team that they face. And some offensive linemen, you know, Wendell Moe, I've been watching for a while, and I like him a decent amount. And then Lance Hurd, former five-star recruit, was injured last year and, you know, just clearly was not really at 100%, but seems to be at full strength now and is playing a lot better. So if he can stack another one of those games, if he continues to stack games, then I'll have to take him seriously and like go back and actually evaluate his tape instead of just kind of watching him passively.
Yep. All right. NC State, Virginia Tech. Let's talk about this one just because there is an emerging player in this game to bring up that you are ready to vocalize here. So I'll let you take that one away.
You said NC State?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Hollywood Smothers, running back. Doesn't have the ideal build. He is, 5'11", 195. So he's got kind of that tall, slender build. But I just think he is so elusive, extremely creative, does a great job setting up his blocks, and has been one of the most productive running backs in college football so far. 503 yards already. So yeah, he'll be the player that I'm monitoring in this game, along with Justin Jolie and Jacarius Peak.
Yep, Jacarius Peak's the one that I was going to throw out there too. Next games to really mention here are big ones for the quarterback class, and that's whether or not this quarterback class is going to become something that could talk about in terms of depth, or if it's just like, okay, let's move on to 2027. That's going to be Oregon, Penn State, and then Alabama, Georgia, starting with Oregon, Penn State. Obviously the story is Dante Moore's first real test. This is Dante Moore's first real test here. He's looked the part through the early part of their schedule, but again, the Power Four opponents that they've played are not high level Power Four opponents. And then Oregon State isn't even a Power Four opponent anymore. So, does he look the part against a Jim Knowles coach, number three team in the nation that consistently outputs NFL athletes at the next level? Again, if he looks the part here, I'm ready to push the button.
I would definitely agree with that. I would say the same thing for Dante Moore and for Ty Simpson, the two quarterbacks in this window that we unfortunately can't watch in their own separate time slot. But yeah, obviously the quarterbacks, you know, Drew Aller, it's about time to what's that smell, Drew Aller, you know? I don't know. Yeah. He's looked pretty bad against the
against like Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. Yeah. So we are approaching that territory.
But outside of the quarterbacks, though, still so many big-time players on both sides. I think for me, like Isaiah World has had kind of a sloppy start. And so seeing him mashed up against the Penn State front, denied Dennis Sutton. They'll mostly be matched up one-on-one with each other, so that'll be good to see. Zane Durant, I'm not like a huge fan of. He's kind of just a one-trick pony in my opinion.
I agree.
And then our favorite player, Mateo Uiagalelei, the cross chop spammer. I mean, he's been doing his thing this year.
He has. Goes against Drew Shelton in this game.
Yep.
Zane Durant goes against, you mentioned Zane Durant, but he goes against Laulani, the massive, massive Oregon center. Like, that guy is the biggest center I've ever seen in my entire life. So that'll be a matchup to watch there as well. You mentioned denied Dennis Sutton against Isaiah World, too. I have an emerging player for Oregon that I want to talk about, mainly because I'm desperate for a running back in this class. But Jaden Lamar has looked like Oregon's best running back to this point in the season. Again, they're giving multiple guys carries. So he only has like 200 and some rushing yards, but he's averaging 6 yards a carry. And he very much looks the compact, like, body type that I like in running backs. He's explosive. So Jaden Lamar is a running back. He's a true junior, so he's draft eligible. And running backs are the position where you can kind of lean into that a little bit more, declaring as a junior, just because of the shelf life of running backs versus the amount of money they could make at the NFL. So Jaden Lamar is an emerging player that I want to throw out in this game as well. Offensively for Penn State, I mean, Nick Singleton, I have not watched a lick of Penn State offense because they haven't played a single person, a single team worth watching.
I watched like Drew Aller's throws, but yeah.
Yeah. I haven't even charted Drew Aller. I was like, I'm not charting Drew Aller against Villanova. I'm not charting Drew Aller against FIU. It's just not going to happen. So this will be a good tape game for Penn State to finally get out there. Bryce Becker. I'm excited to see Bryce Becker if he can fly around and keep pace with those guys, those backs at Penn State as well. If he can stack and shed a little bit along that, the front there, the Penn State guards got some hype too. I didn't love his tape coming into the year as well. The Ione kid.
Yeah.
Didn't love his tape coming into the season, but
334 pounds.
Big boy, big, big boy. Alabama, Georgia.
Also Zaki Wheatley.
Yep, Zaki Wheatley. That's a good shout. And AJ Harris.
Excited. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Those guys deserve the shout for sure. Speaking of Alabama, Georgia, AJ Harris is a Georgia transfer. Jeremy Bernard versus Dalen Everett. Can I interest you in Dalen Everett? I'm not a huge fan, but again, this is a Ty Simpson resume game too. This will say, is Ty Simpson a 2026 kid or is he a 2027 kid? Like, I can almost definitively make that statement off of this game. Like, it feels odd to say that, but like, I'll be able to tell based off of this game. Yeah, man.
Christian Miller, the Georgia defensive tackle, is kind of like Joshua Joseph's, the Tennessee edge, in the sense that I feel like they have the same game every time I watch them. Like, Christian Miller will have like two really good run stops. Mm-hmm. Maybe one time he'll get pushed back in the run game, and then like a couple late pass rush wins.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's a very low volume thing. He looks good and kind of in flashes and is a technically sound player. There's just, he's not dominant and never really has productive games, you know?
Yeah. I will actually have CJ Allen under a microscope in this game, mainly because I did watch CJ Allen against Tennessee and I left less than impressed. But again, it's hard for linebackers when you're playing a team that, like, you know, the veer and shoot offenses who cover every blade of grass and they're trying to RPO you and put you in conflict in every single snap. It's kind of harder to evaluate linebackers in that setting. So this is more of a, you know, Ty Simpson is very much a play action, drop back, step through the pocket kind of quarterback. And this Alabama offense, I mean, they'll run some RPOs for sure, but like very much they're going to give you a more traditional looking front and traditional looking scheme to get your eyes in the right spot too. So I'm kind of hoping, I'm going to call it a bounce back game because I don't think CJ Allen's tape against Tennessee was all that great. Anything else here?
You mentioned Jeremy Bernard. I would say it'll be interesting to see. I think I heard Tim Keenan might be coming back. So, you know, run stopping nose tackle for Alabama. And then Bray Hubbard, the safety as well, that has had kind of the polar opposite games so far this year.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. All right. The last P4 versus P4 game here to really talk about is Kentucky, South Carolina, man. And again, this is just about Lenore Sellers stacking games. And then does he take that other gradual step? You know, we talked about on the podcast, it is like he's walking up a flight of steps. It's incremental, but each game you can tell he's getting there. He's getting there. He's getting there. And it's looking cleaner and cleaner and cleaner from an operational perspective. So, that's what I'm going to look for. And again, Kentucky's a pretty good game to do that against, because in terms of SEC talent, Kentucky hasn't figured out how to really work the portal yet. Mike Stoops hasn't really figured out how to work the portal yet. So,
yeah, Lenora Sellers, like, I've moved him up to fourth overall on my board. I just think every game, you know, you kind of said it perfectly, like every game he looks better and better. I think the intermediate accuracy has improved so much. You're seeing him start to get to the backside of stuff with better timing. So it's very promising. And I had an Anthony Richardson comp based on last year's tape, which I think is valid because of the lack of accuracy, but the ball placement's getting to a point where that I'm going to have to delete that comparison because it's becoming no longer valid. Yeah. So that's
Dante Culpepper is a popular one that I see.
What I try to do is I try to have like my grade is how good I think they are. And then the comp is just, if you're skimming through, it's like a style. So I try to give high end and low end. So I have Dante Culpepper and Anthony Richardson as my two comps. So
I dig that. I dig that. Love it. I think that's it, man. I don't think there's anybody from Kentucky I really want to talk about, and nobody else from South Carolina I really want to talk about.
Yeah, Nick Harbor just has not, it's not happened with him. And then Jalen Kilgore, I've never seen it. He was kind of hyped up in the preseason, but I don't even know if he's, I haven't really checked in on him this year, but I wasn't that impressed with his tape.
Nope. All right. Well, that's it. Enjoy this week of the slate this week because it's a packed house. So enjoy that. We'll be back next week breaking this all down, giving out our helmet stickers, talking some more emerging players, and we'll go from there. But until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Goodbye.